Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be glorified in your sight, for you, O God, are our rock, and you are our Redeemer. Amen. So I might have shared this story before, but all good stories are worth retelling, right? So whenever I was a little girl and my parents would take me to the playground, I would excitedly run away from them, joining the gaggles of other children. And within 5 minutes, I would return to my parents, out of breath, gleaming light in my eyes, another little child's hand nestled in mine. "This is my new best friend," I would excitedly exclaim. And then my face would fall a little and curiosity enter my eyes. And I would turn to this little child and I would ask, "What's your name again?" I believe that little Kendra took to the words that psychologist Carl Jung said when he said, "Everyone you meet knows something that you don't know but need to know. Learn from them." These friendships brought joy, wonder, awe, and delight into my life. For the short-lived periods of time that we were together, they were important. They taught me lessons of trust, of sharing, and welcome. They taught me that the world is full of interesting people. They were also, though, temporal, limited to the few hours on a Saturday morning when I played at a particular park along the Green Belt in Colorado Springs. The cottonwood trees, downy seed like snow falling magically, illuminated in the early summer sun. These friends are unnamed because they exist as tales in the folklore of my family, where I have always been an exuberant people person, welcoming and creating connections with a sense of joy and also sometimes a sense of urgency. One day, after playing at the park, I fell into bed exhausted and I told my mother, "There are a million people out there and I'm just sad I won't get to be friends with them all." As humans, we are designed for connection with others. Evolutionarily, we found that working together, each individually bringing our gifts, not only makes us better and wiser and stronger, but honestly allows us to survive. Not competition against, but survival with and for one another. Today in scripture, we have such a story of the ways that connection changes us, transforms us, saves us. The word friendship in our society often seems insufficient to describe the relationship between Ruth and Naomi. We use the word flippantly these days, acquaintance slipping from our vocabulary. You tell a story and that person that you took a math class with in high school and haven't talked to since becomes a friend. Or that person that you once knew through so-and-so, or that guy that you ran next to in the gym. Now, this isn't a sermon about how we need to have less friends. You're talking to a playground chronic friender or possibly a stage 5 friend clinger. But this is a sermon about how we can view our friendships as holy and view the tending and the care of them just not as superficial maintenance, as a spiritual practice in which something holy happens, in which God is present, in which we are changed and transformed and saved. Ruth lives this spiritual friendship with Naomi. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and if as well, and more as well, if even death parts me from you. as I read these words this past week, I was reminded of the vows, actually, the vows that my husband, Dan, and I took on our wedding day. I didn't realize I'd be sitting under a picture of our wedding, but those are so similar to the vows that Dan and I took on our wedding day. The covenantal promises that we made, words weaving together our lives, tying them to one another, blessed by God. And so too was Ruth weaving her life together with Naomi's. So too were their covenantal promises to one another holy, and it changed them, it transformed them, it saved them. In a recent article in Harper's Magazine, Ann Patchett's words weave together another holy story of her unconventional friendship with a woman named Suki. And their initial fascination with one another and occasional emails transform to something much deeper when Suki was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And just before the pandemic, Suki flew to Nashville to stay with Ann for what was supposed to be a short time while receiving treatment in a clinical trial. Anne and Suki's lives bled together in their everydayness. The everydayness that awaited us all as life was locked down amidst the spread of the coronavirus. And the words of Ruth and Naomi were echoed as these women found themselves in the crisis. Anne writes, Suki saying, "I'm dying," my friend said to me. "I'll go with you," I said. "Where you go, I will go." Anne goes on to write, "We found each other and we would not be lost. We repeated these facts, we made them a mantra." As it turned out, Suki and I needed the same thing, to find someone who could see us as our best and most complete selves. Astonishing to come across a friendship like at this point in life, at any point in life. This article entitled "These Precious Days" exists at one end of life. And this week, as I held my little one illuminated by a nightlight, rocking her as she woke from teething pains, I traced the shape of her ear and the feathered lightness of her hair. These precious days at the other end of life. Like Anne and Suki, no, these days are hard, but oh, how they are precious. I remember driving back from the hospital when I had a DNC. A little life that had begun to grow inside of me had stopped. And the stories that I had created, the what would be's, also abruptly ended. There is no pretty resolution after a miscarriage. I hate the word miscarriage, like I'd been careless and dropped something along the way. But we found ourselves in crisis. Anne and I drove home in silence, neither of us knowing what to say, stunned. So much heartache and heaviness. When we got home, struck by the everyday pulls of life, the dog still had to be walked. So Dan reluctantly helped me get comfortable on the couch, and I called Molly, who holds my heart in so many ways. And I couldn't bring myself to say anything after she answered the phone. And she got quiet too, and we just cried. And she said, "I love you, and I'm here, and we can stay on the line." And then I fell asleep. Where you go, I will go. It is hard, these holy friendships. They ask that we move past just the pleasantries, the small talk and idle chatter about that store or those events. Everydayness is essential. It is also essentially not all there is. We don't fill the space with Hallmarkian words. We let the pain and anger of life be seen and heard and acknowledged. We don't try to fix. We hold one another. This is covenantal friendship. It is holy. God is in it. And it's a spiritual practice that must be practiced. We all have playground friends. These people too will teach us things about ourselves and the world. There's an openness of heart in viewing these friendships as spiritual practices. Who knows what may blossom into something deeper and more heartbreaking, our hearts breaking open as they grow, more beautiful than we ever imagined. These spiritual friendships are the stuff stories are written, and yet they're part of our lives. They're tended and nurtured and cultivated and cared for. They ask that we be honest with ourselves and vulnerable with others. And so I invite you to take a moment to pause, to think of the people who have been your Ruth, who have sat with you, listened to your heartache, who haven't needed to fill the space with words, who are the Anne to your Suki, or maybe my version of Molly. If you feel comfortable, I invite you to put that person's name in the chat as a form of prayer, lifting up thanksgiving for who those folks are and how they have saved us and transformed us and changed us. I invite you to place your hand on your heart and to feel it beating and to think about whoever this person is in your life. Think about the ways that they have tended and cared. Think about these Daves and Barbaras, these Teds, Carols and Abbeys. These Joys and Melanies and Peggy's, these Vickies. And I want you to remember the stories that have brought you through life with them, the joy and the pain. I want you to feel the ties that bond you together, just like you feel the beating of your heart and the love that's between you. And know that it too is a holy thing. You can take your hand off your heart if you want. This week, I invite you to enter into your relationships, your friendships, with an openness and a gratitude and intentionality. Because through these relationships, the holy is moving. And the living of our lives together, two friends, are a spiritual practice. May it be so for me and for each of you. Amen.